Audio Now.
Hello Holly, the podcast about interior, trends and friends.
Hi, I'm Holly Becker from the interior blog Decorate. I'm an author, a stylist, and I have my own magazine called Holly, and now my new podcast about interior, zeitgeist, and friendship. Are you ready? Hi, I am so happy to be here today with Stefan Nielsen from Stockholm. Hello.
Hi, guten Morgen.
Guten Morgen. Yeah, we're in Hamburg. It's sunny outside, and I'm just so happy that you flew in to have this podcast with me. There's so many questions that I want to ask you, and as a trend expert, as someone I've worked with for several years now, I'm just fascinated by what you do in your work, and I want everyone listening to learn more about you and what you do, and to just understand more about trends, and also about big trend at the moment, sustainability, which we'll also talk about. So what I do with all of my podcast guests, because I always ask them what excites them at the moment. So tell me, what's exciting you at the moment?
Two things. I'm going to start with the easy one.
Yeah.
I'm in Hamburg and I'm totally in love with this city. I just said that when I came into the room and I met you. There's something about Hamburg that's so diverse and it feels like home and it's energetic and it's something with the city. It makes my heart rush, really.
Nice.
Really, yeah. So I am a pretty good person who can sort of like live in the moment and enjoy that. And, you know, I'm here now. I'm very, very happy. The sun is out. We're pushing winter away a bit. The second thing I'm also very intrigued and excited about is the changing times. A big question, and I'm sure we're going to come back to that. But I think that our world is changing a lot. And do you remember the, you know, Kodak cameras and Kodak films?
How
we stopped using that? There's going to be more Kodaks next year.
Yeah.
More Kodak moments next year.
Oh, interesting. Right. Okay, I can't wait to learn more about this. Yeah, so one thing I wanted to also tell the listeners about you, Trend Stefan, is that you are very active on your Instagram, which is at Trend Stefan. You're using it daily. You also have a website, you have a blog, and you have you have trend reports available on your website that can be purchased, right? And you also, every time you go to a fair, you're visiting the fair and you're coming back and you're writing these really extensive, sometimes very funny reports. about what you saw, which I love. And so I wanted the listeners to know that you're you have a blog and a website and an Instagram account, and you also have a YouTube where you're doing videos and you're meeting with people, design and dessert, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, so let's talk about everything that I can try to fit into 30 minutes. So you're the trend guy. You visit a lot of fairs. How many fairs are you visiting a year, approximately?
I calculated 1 year, and I came up to the number of 20 fairs
per year. Yeah, 20. And where are you going? Is it only in Scandinavia and Germany or where else?
No, I try to, I'll basically go to any fair that invites me, and a lot of people are inviting me because apparently I'm some person.
You're hot.
Apparently, I don't
know. You are, yes.
And now she's not talking about my looks.
No, well, both, of course.
So I do like to see, of course, my main focus is interior design, but I do cover the whole lifestyle and living situations, our values and the things that we do. I mean, I would go to a hotel fair or even a beauty fair, or why not a floor fair, because it's adding to the knowledge of what's happening around us. So therefore, I would go to any fair that invites me, and it might sound irrelevant to go to like a bathroom fair, because it's such a small part of our homes. But still, it gives an insight on how, you know, we live our lives.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Sometimes I'm reading graphic design magazines or psychology magazines. It has nothing, you think it has nothing to do with interior design, but it actually has everything to do with interior design, because graphic and psychology and all of this feeds into the way we're decorating our home and the feelings in our home. So I totally get it. And so how did you actually get into this field of being invited to all of these fancy fairs and doing all this reporting? I mean, how do you, I bet there's so many people that listen to this and think, I want to be you. How did you get into this?
I had a conversation, was it a week or two ago, with a French trend hunter. And when I'm really old, I might sound young, but I'm not. I'm really old. And when we started 20 years ago, about, there were not like no schools, there were no formats. How do you start? So basically, all of us who are a bit older than 22, we just stumbled across this. We, you know, it started with an idea, an interest. My career started with a party. I went to a party.
Okay,
and
tell me more.
And I was sitting next to this woman, and yeah. She was nice, and she thought that I was nice, and I made her laugh. And she's like, well, you need to come to my, I have a radio show.
Yeah.
You need to come to my radio show and be a regular. So I did that. And that's how I started talking about changes and the things that's happening around us.
Okay.
So I basically started my trend career in the media or in the eye of the public. At the same time.
Okay.
So that's how we started. And the common thread with all of us who are in this industry is curiosity.
Yes.
Trying to understand, it's not about being right, because predicting the color of the year is kind of uninteresting and kind of boring, but trying to understand why we choose things. That's the common thread.
Oh, that's an interesting point. And I think too, like one thing that I always liked about you is you are such a curious person, and sometimes it's a bit unexpected the way you look at things. And like when we were in Eindhoven last year, or when we traveled to Milan or wherever, I always noticed that you sometimes crave to be alone and to just go and touch things and look at things, and you're really into the moment. And to me, that shows a real professionalism, because you're not there to just talk and mingle with people only, but you're also there because you really have a vested interest in what you're seeing. So tell me, when you're at these fairs, what do you look for? I mean, how do you approach your work? When you go to a fair, like, what happens? You have a little coffee, and then what do you do?
I do have
Tell
a little
me.
Coffee. I have coffee,
have
and
a lot
I have
of coffee.
Wine as wine.
Yeah,
as well.
Wine. I know that.
I have my way of doing it. I have my format right now.
Yes.
So what it does is, when I go to a fair, mm-hmm. I mean, most of these fairs that I go to are for professionals only. So if you are a listener and you want to do this, it might be closed for you. Mm-hmm. But there are open fairs or markets even. I mean,
right.
You could do that as well. But what I do is I automatically lift up my phone and I start taking pictures of things that stand out.
Mm.
And you should not overthink it. You should go with your intuition and really, okay, so, and you, this stands out and that stands out and that's interesting and that's strange, but that everything you need to start and not overthink it, because after half an hour walking on a fair or a market, then you'll see the common thread. So you don't need to overthink it. You need to start taking pictures and not overthink it and not wait too long. And because then you've missed the purple pillow that looks strange. And then you don't know, where was that purple pillow? Start automatically and then go through your pictures. And then you'll see, okay, things are getting smaller or larger or more yellow or more purple. Mix the materials. Is there a shift in the rooms? Is there sustainability? Are there other questions? Is it about interactivity? So that's how I do this, and I always try to figure out, I'll try to find a number of bullet points basically per fair. So it could be color, it could be material, it could be a furniture piece, it could be a topic like sustainability, it could be something else, it could be let's talk about lookability, craftsmanship, something else, you know, the different kind of questions. So yeah.
Okay, and I remember now, as you were speaking, I remembered when we were at a fair in Frankfurt, you had told me that you bring your phone and you just start taking lots and lots of pictures, and then by the end of the day, you see the trends or the themes. And this, to me, was so different than how I work, because when I go to fairs, I only photograph what I like.
Yeah.
And what I see that I am, it's a turn on to me, you know?
Absolutely.
But you're shooting things that you don't like too, right?
Absolutely.
Things that aren't necessarily what you would bring home.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and that's what makes us different.
I need to set myself aside. I need to absolutely set myself aside. And
is that hard to do?
No, it's practice.
Okay.
And you need to practice on it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not looking for things for my home. I mean, I have a partner, and he, of course, and everyone else is asking, like, did you see anything nice? Do you want to bring it back home? And you go like, blank. I have no idea.
Okay.
Did I find anything I would like to bring home? I have no idea, because I'm working on finding the common threads. That's what I'm doing.
Okay.
So I'm all about that.
Okay. And one thing you mentioned earlier is that a lot of people that are listening probably can't get into these fairs because mm-hmm. they're for the professional, for the industry. But one thing I want to remind the listeners is that when you go to Trend Stefan's website, you can find all of everything that you see at fairs right on your blog, which is amazing, because they don't have to actually go to the fairs to see the fairs through your eyes. Yeah. So I think that's great. So what drives you to actually stay in this world of trends? Because it can be draining, can it, to just constantly go to fairs and travel all the time and meet people? It sounds like a luxury, but in the end, it's very tiring. What do you think drives you to stay to this?
Mm. Yes, I do travel a lot.
Yes.
We're not going to be talking about flight shame, but well, we might come back to that topic later. But I travel a lot. I would say that I spend at least one night per week away from home at a hotel. So yeah, I travel a lot, but meeting people.
Okay,
the thing that we do now is amazing. And also when I go to fairs or when I go to launches or showrooms and I meet people and I talk, because that's also, so in my job, visually, it's important to go to fairs and see things. Is it going to be purple? Is it going to be yellow? Is it going to be craftsmanship? Mm-hmm. But also, of course, talking to people. I talk and talk and talk. And you've heard me talk as well. How's the business? Because I want to get an overall view of the whole industry. And then when I talk about the industry, it's mainly design, lifestyle focus. So I would talk to brands, I would talk to designers, I would talk to students, I would talk to teachers, I would talk to anyone. It's like, I have a good question that I can ask anyone because the answer is kind of interesting.
What is it?
And the question would be like, let's say you have 50 euros spare.
Okay.
What would you do?
Okay.
And you don't have to answer, and no one has to answer. You don't have to send me like a report of what you would do with 50 euros. But 50 euros says something. If you have that spare, what would you do? Would you go out, have drinks? Would you invest it in like, or would you buy fashion? Would you buy a new candle holder?
Oh, you're right. It does say a lot about the personality, doesn't it?
Yeah. So depending on who you are, what age you're in, and where you live, do you live in a city or in the rural areas? Or
something? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, what would you do if you had 50 bucks now?
Definitely go out.
Yeah, definitely, right? So I have some reader questions. I had some, as you know, we did some a little bit of chatting on WhatsApp with our group of other bloggers, and I asked them, what do you want Trent Stefan to tell us in our podcast? Mm-hmm. And they wrote a bunch of questions for you, so I have to ask you them.
Okay.
Because they will kill me if I don't.
They
want to know, at what point did you become Trent Stefan? That name.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
So I started working at that dinner party when that lady sort of like invited me to her radio show.
Oh, right. Okay.
That's around the millennia. So I've been around for 20 years doing the things I'm doing.
Okay.
And quite early on, I realized that people have difficulties with the word trend.
Okay.
Because it sounds like superficial.
Yes.
It sounds like it's only commercial. Fluffy.
Yeah, commercial.
Fluffy pill. Yeah,
right.
So it sounds like it has no value and no importance. And it's only like a certain group of people who find trends interesting and they're shallow.
Yes, always.
So therefore, the word itself is depending on how we define it. And I wanted to take it down from the shallowness and take it more like a personal thing. So yeah, that's what I made myself Trent Stefan. Because I wanted to be like, it's not scary. I mean, trends depends on how we define it. And I can say that trends is one way to define it is trends are dreams. The things that we want, not the things that we have, but the things we want.
Yeah, the aspirations.
Yeah, so that's what trends are.
Okay.
And then it sounds kind of nice. So
it does.
I heard Gudi when she talked on your previous pod, how rural lifestyle, for instance, can be trendy. Because, yeah, that's a dream. That's what you want.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we all want like that solidarity sometime in the country and the smell of the country.
Right.
Yeah,
the
escapism.
Fall leaves. Yeah,
Okay, so that's when you became Trent Stefan about 20 years ago. So the next question from the readers was, what's your favorite trend of all time?
I'm always going to be colorful.
Okay.
I'm always going to be colorful. So I like anything that has colors in it. And I kind of recently learned that there are basically like three kinds of people. When we talk about interior and the rooms that we want to be in. So there's the colorful person, that's me.
All right.
Then you have the Lego colors.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the primer colors.
Primary colors.
And the block paints and whatever. And then you have the beige ones who want a different kind of lifestyle. And then you have a darker tones, more pastels.
Okay.
So these three kinds of people are sort of like the basis and the foundations of how we see our home. So when I see your pictures, you're a beige person.
Yeah, and pastel.
And pastel.
Oh, totally.
If I would So if I would bring you like a bright red cushion,
I would be very unhappy with
that. Yeah, you would be like,
it scares me.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
And when you bring something beige to me, I would not be like, happy. Thanks, but no
yeah.
thanks.
Yeah, right.
So
right.
these three kind of sort of like bases of people, that's all we are. But I do, so I do like colors. I do like colors. And yeah. you don't have to agree with me, but that's my taste.
Right. So the three types then would be the colorful yeah. type, the more muted, yeah. whether it's pastel or deeper colors, and yeah. then the beige
yeah.
type. Okay. That probably feeds a lot into our personality, don't you think? Because certain colors, for me, like stimulate me too much, yeah. and I'm already like da 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 da. So if I'm around red, it makes me a little crazy. Uh-huh. But if I'm around a calm color, it calms me down. With you, how do you think color affects you? Actually, it's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know if it's sort of like part of the pulse, but rather to me. To me, the colorful stands for personality.
Oh, okay.
We're going to talk about how I want to have my home. And it's all going to be about personality. Because I want, when you come to my home, I want you to see, okay, this is this kind of person. He yeah. lives here. He has a leopard rug. He has a yellow couch. He has purple walls.
Yeah.
That's a strange person. And I like that.
Yeah, and you want that, though.
I want that, yeah.
Okay, good. So another question I have for you from the readers is, how many days of the year do you travel? Because you said you go to about 20 fairs. So yeah. how many days? You mentioned one day a week approximately mm-hmm. or?
Yeah.
People really want to know a detail
yeah,
here, huh?
I don't mind talking about sharing. We can talk about how the job is also. I want to talk about money, Holly.
Yeah, yeah.
Can
well,
we do that?
Yeah, because we can definitely talk about money.
That's one of my strategies as well, to talk about money, because everyone thinks there's like so much money in this industry and there's not.
Yeah,
but it's
yeah.
love. There's
yeah,
other
it's,
things.
It's passion. It's passion. Definitely a passion industry.
Okay, the number of days I travel. Because besides going to various fairs, mm-hmm. I need to go to various cities. So I need to see that. I mean, going to a city like Hamburg again to see what's happening in the stores.
Okay, so it's
what's
not
happening
just
in the architecture.
The
what's happening at the restaurants? Yes. What's happening at the hotels? So I do like 10 cities per year as
okay.
well. So
mm-hmm.
besides the 20 fairs and the 10 cities.
Oh wow, the numbers are going up now.
Yeah.
Now I understand the one night in a hotel a week. Okay, so what was the fair this year, 2019, that so far has stood out to you?
The one that always stands out
yes.
is going to be the one that you and I are going to
yes,
this weekend,
yes,
which is in the Netherlands.
Yes.
We're going to Eindhoven.
Yes.
I would say that's the most important design week. And that's open to the public as well, which is kind of interesting.
And why do you think that's so important?
Because it's non-commercial.
Oh.
It's non-commercial. It's very close to the designers, the curators. So they would do something that stands out. It doesn't have to be sellable. It doesn't have to be commercial at all. So that's the advantage of that fair if you compare to Paris or Milan, where it needs to be like a commercial product.
Right.
So,
or even advertising.
Yeah.
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 Brand advertising.
So when you go there, people are doing like strange things, but it gives you food for thoughts. It's like we all know that we're going to be living smaller. But it's in Eindhoven, you will see the experiments. Okay, so how will we actually live smaller? What will the furniture look like? Again, in your previous podcast, you talked about mobility and the smaller furniture pieces. But it's in Eindhoven, you will actually see a designer do that.
Yeah, and then a few years later, you actually start to see yeah. some of this at the fairs, because
yeah.
we've both observed that
yeah.
when we're in Eindhoven or these
yeah.
smaller fairs, you start to see them at the larger
yeah.
fairs and mass scale later on. So I think, yeah, it's a, but we can't tell anyone Eindhoven is
no,
so
don't
amazing
go. Don't go.
Because then,
don't go.
Yeah, our secret's flown. Okay, another question I have for you, we have to go back to trends really quick mm-hmm. and then we'll hit the money topic. But what are some big trends at the moment? And please say sustainability, because I really want to get into your brain about that. sustainability,
yeah.
right? It's sustainability.
Sustainability.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
so
sustainability, like boomed from last year.
Yes, of course.
It's gone so fast. It's, but we need to talk about that. It's not going to be lasting as a trend as well. It's going to be. I mean, sustainability is an important question, no
mm-hmm.
doubt about it. But at the level of things where it's now, that's not going to be for 2020. So we're gonna take it down a notch.
Okay.
Sustainability is extremely important, and it's going to maintain, and we need to save our world, and
yeah,
there's no
right.
planet B, blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
blah.
There's no plan B, no, yeah.
yeah.
Well, maybe you can define sustainability for people listening that don't really know. How does sustainability work when it comes to interior design and trends in interiors?
One of the main things that we're going to see now is our shopping behavior, and that's when I talk about the Kodak moment, meaning that, yeah, we... I mean, when I look at and when I sort of foresee and I think I'm going to do my reports for next year or for the coming years, I see that we're not going to be buying anything.
Okay.
I mean, we're done.
Yeah.
And that's going to affect a lot of people or a lot of brands and a lot of shops and a lot of like retail. And we see that already, but we're done. I mean, when I hold my seminars, I basically say like, okay, who in this audience needs another candle holder?
Right. Yeah.
And we're done. And those who realize this, they were the ones who are going to survive. They're not going to be the Kodak ones. But the ones, a lot of brands are trying to like, no, we need to produce a lot of like candle holders and they need to be cheap and they need to be made in plastic because people will want to have candle holders and they're not. So sustainability and as in not over consuming, that's one aspect. The second one, the second theme that's going to be exploding next year is materials. And we're going to look at things that are recycled.
Right.
Or
yeah,
materials.
That's so important. I mean, because there's so many things that you can be doing, even with plastic that's currently, you know, people are saying, oh, plastic is bad, but it's actually not bad if you know how to recycle it properly and reuse it. It's actually an amazing material. Mm. I mean, it never goes away. It's incredible.
No, it apparently lasts for 250 years.
Exactly.
Apparently lasting.
So, yeah, exactly. And I like this, the way I read recently how sustainability is defined. It's takes care. It's realizing that we need to take care of our needs today without compromising the ability for future generations to meet their own needs. I really like that because when I think about that, it calls into mind what businesses can do. They can cut emissions, they can lower energy usage, they can source products from fair trade companies, whatever. So with sustainability then within our world, it would be companies thinking more about where they're sourcing things, the situations that workers are in that are making these things, right? Is that how sustainability relates, do you think, to interiors or?
It's a huge question.
Massive.
I what one of the things that brands need to learn is to talk about their choices because you can't do everything, but you need to talk about the choices you've made. So is it about the material or is it the production or is it craftsmanship or is it locally produced or is it recycled? You know, you need to talk about your angle and we need to be better at that. And we as consumer, we need to ask questions because that's also going to come now. And we're going to see that, okay, so plastics made out of like other materials like maize or corn, for instance, is that good? It sounds good on paper, right?
Right.
Yeah,
but
it's not recyclable. So yeah.
Okay. And what are some things that listeners can do to live a more sustainable life? And maybe three tips you would give. Just three, because we can't be perfect.
No. I would say trade things with your friends.
Trade. Okay.
Yeah, well, I know. Yeah. Exchange. So giving it a longer life. So I would give you something that I've had. That's another way of coming around the vintage cycle.
I like that.
I would do that. And then I would look into materials.
Okay.
I mean, you could choose linen that's better than cotton, for instance. I mean, find your materials and make sure that you know one material that you like. So have linen better than cotton, for instance. That's one example. Third,
what would you do?
We need to buy local.
Buy local.
We must. We must
support
local
shops, local farms.
Yeah. Mm,
yes. You know, I like what you said about trading because about 15 years ago, right when I entered this profession, I had this thing, the swap meet with my girlfriends, and they would all come to my house and they would bring a couple of interiors objects that they didn't want anymore.
Yeah.
And I would take a few and we'd all just put them on the table.
Right.
And then we would pick what we want and then we'd keep what came in. So you left with a bag of three different things and you brought in. And I actually loved it and the girls loved it. And of course there was wine. So we were, you know, having a great time. So it's nice to have
call
this
me next time.
Swap meet. Yeah, I'll call. Everyone wants to come to these swap meets, huh?
Yeah, that
would be fun. Good. So you wanted to talk a little bit about money. I'm scared. This is one of those topics where I'm thinking, will this fit into an interiors trend discussion? But let's go for it. Okay, so money. I guess I could ask you then, how do you support yourself being a trend hunter?
Yeah, I think that's the trend industry and people think that it's so like fancy and you only go to cocktail dinners because you look at my pictures on Instagram or whatever and there's only like champagne and fun people and parties and then you go to fairs and you travel. But there's, I have passion. We talked about the word passion and passion is an important driver for this. But you need to make ends meet. I read the report. I do read reports that's not only about the interior design world, but how By 2027, Morgan Stanley, the analyst company, they said that 50% of all of us are going to be freelancers. I'm a freelancer. I think you are as well, Holly.
Yes.
So, and we need to understand that how do we make money? And, but again, if we're not going to be buying anything, we're just going to be trading with our friends. So then we can, that's fine.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I guess it depends on the country, because here in Germany, it's a very, it's a consumer country, I would say. It's very, people here are shopping a lot, and it's very, very much around, built around shopping at the moment. It actually really reminds me of American culture in some ways, because when I first relocated here, it was so much different. And now, several years later, I can really see how things have changed in Germany. People are much more aware of their interiors, and they want the newest and the best in their fashion, and they're just more aware. So I'm not sure how it will affect Germans as a German market, if they'll still be shopping next year or not. I guess the economy will let us know. But in my, when I think about all this, and when I think about what you do, I think the work is still important, whether people are shopping, not shopping, whatever. I think it's still really important what you're doing with hunting for trends. And but tell us why what you do is important, because I know it's important. But why do you think what you do is important for people?
I want to give people the tools to choose.
Okay.
I need people. The best thing, first of all, and when because the one thing that makes me pay rent is holding seminars. And when people have seen me on stage, I want them to feel inspired that there's like an opportunity of
like things. Yeah, because you give like TED Talks. You're incredible.
But, well, I want people to feel like, okay, the world is fun. I could do things. This is an opportunity to do things.
Right.
But I do want people to be aware of that you don't have to follow trends. It's not important to follow trends at all.
Right, but just be aware of what's out there.
Exactly.
Okay.
I mean, if you walk the street and feel like, oh, I feel like having a pink thing at home, then you should be aware of, okay, pink is a trend. And then you can say like, okay, fine, I'll follow that trend, or I'll skip it. I'll go green instead.
Right. And also knowing your options, right? Yeah, like you said, what if you wanted to be more sustainable, which company is offering linen that's the most sustainably produced, right? And that's what you're doing. You're offering that.
Educate people. I'd like to see myself as a person who educates people and give them choices.
Okay.
No musts.
Okay. And so when you talked earlier about making money, so you make money through your trend reports people can download on your website. You also earn, I guess, from some of the fairs that you go to, the lectures you give, and that's how you're making money to be able to live doing this?
Yeah, I do different things. I do also like projects, like you do.
Yes.
A company could approach me and say like, hey.
Oh, that's right. You design products as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could say like, you seem like a fun person. And that's also the future. And that's what I want to ask you when we do the video talk, you and I.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about, so what's the future of our industry?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you that.
Okay, well, okay, that's a big question. I think I need a gin tonic for that answer. Good. So, you know, we have to wrap up now, which is sad. But, you know, we can keep doing videos and stuff on my Instagram, on your Instagram, and keep this conversation going, because I think it's a good one. And I think what makes you so amazing to me personally, Stefan, is that you're out there and you're just looking for everything. And like I said earlier, I'm not. I'm looking for what I respond to. So I think I love that about you. I love many things, but I love that about you, that you're just so open and you just receive it all. And then you so generously give it all back to the public through your blog. So thank you for that work. I don't know if people thank you regularly for this, but I think when I read your blog and I see all the funny comments you leave about this and that, and how this didn't inspire you and that was dumb and that was interesting, I think also how candid you are and how raw you are. You don't just say what people want to hear. You say what people need to hear. So keep it up.
Thank you.
You're pretty amazing.
I will do
my
best.
So the final question is, what makes your house a home? Because I always like to tie our conversations back into the home. What makes your house a home?
Absolutely personality.
Yeah.
Absolutely personality. I mean, I hope you'd see me in the house when you go there.
Yes.
And I think it's not about, I've had the same wallpaper for 12 years. I've had the same couch for 10 years. It's not about trends. It's about personality. That's what makes it a home. Show yourself.
Show yourself. Okay, good. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure having you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Trend
Danke.
Stefan.
Bitte.
Bitte schön. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear more about what drives creatives behind the things we love, follow my podcast. There'll be a new podcast every 2 weeks. Please like the podcast in the Apple Podcast app so more people will find this. And I'd love if you'd share it on Instagram at Holly Magazine. I'd really appreciate it. I'd also love your feedback. Please email me at holly@holly-magazine.de. And you can write to me in English or German. I'm really excited to see what you have to say. And also, if you'd love to be a guest, email me as well. Thank you for listening again and have a nice day.
Audio Now.